set up the world in very different ways. Go ahead and flip to the next slide there. The first one we are going to talk about today is Eve, the first woman. And Eve really, listen, we all know it. Eve messed up big time. So did Adam. I'm not taking away the blame from Adam. However, we're not going to talk about Adam today because it's Mother's Day. So Adam gets off the hook today. Just today, though. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, we read this. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. We read in those verses that Eve's the one who is that Satan goes after, right? Previous to those verses, in verses 1 through 5, we read that Satan, in the form of a snake, tempts Eve, twists God's words. Even Eve twists God's words a little bit. Go back and read the beginning of Genesis and then the beginning of Genesis chapter 3. Eve twists God's words. I don't think she means to do it in the way that Satan does. I don't think she's trying to be deceitful. I think she did it in the same way that we all do it. Somebody tells us something, and we put our own interpretation onto it. And we say that back, and they're like, well, that's not what I said at all, actually. We all have done it. We all do it. We've all had it done to us. But Eve, recognizing that the fruit of the tree, we call it an apple. It wasn't an apple, right? The fruit of this tree, I would guess, no longer exists. Because there was one tree ever that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It stood in the center of the garden, and the Garden of Eden's been destroyed. No more tree. So it's okay if you want to say it was an apple. I'm all right with that. I'm not going to be like, how dare you? More likely, it was something more along the lines of a fig or something like that, judging by the area of the world that it was in. But either way, if you want to say Eve ate the apple, so be it. Just don't use that as an excuse not to eat apples. I saw a joke the other day, and it was along the lines of, the reason that women struggle to pick where to eat is because the last time they chose, they doomed all of humanity. Look what she did! So, Eve, number one on your note sheets, if you grabbed a note sheet, Eve. Pretty simple there, Eve. Eve is given a choice. She is given a choice. She is given one directive by God, one rule. What is the one rule that she and Adam are given? Not a rhetorical question. What is the one rule? Don't eat. One tree. One tree. Now you might say, why did God even create that tree? Go ask him when you get there. That's not for me to guess. And as we talked about last week, stop questioning God. It's not going to work out well for you. He will do what he wants to do. He is God. Well, I won't say he will do what he wants to do. He will do what he does when it is in accordance with his will and character. That's how, the next time somebody ever asks you the stupid question of like, can God is so powerful, can he make a boulder so big he can't lift it? No, because he's not an idiot. And he won't do something that is not in accordance with his will and character. And being dumb is not in accordance with God's will and character. So the next time, you know, I got asked that in school all the time. Hopefully you don't get asked that as much anymore. I haven't been asked it in like 10 years since I graduated high school. But like, it was almost daily somebody would ask me that dumb question. I'm like, you don't understand God. That's the problem. Either way, sorry, that was a completely different tangent. All right, Eve's given a choice. She's given one rule. I was given more than one rule from the time I was born. One rule. Don't eat of that tree. Everything else in the whole of creation except for animals. They didn't eat animals yet because there wasn't death. So they were vegetarians. I feel bad for them. I don't think they were vegetarians for very long. I'm going to be honest with you. We don't know how long Adam and Eve were in the garden before they sinned. I don't think it was long. A couple of days at most. How do I know that? How long do you last when you're being tempted? We don't last very long most of the time either. So what makes us think that Satan's coming back day after day after day, tempting Eve and Adam, and they lasted for months and years in the garden? I don't think so. I think they lasted days, maybe. Maybe. The fact of the matter is, she's given this choice. Follow God, do what he says, or don't. And she didn't even have this whole book of rules that we do. She has one rule. And very quickly, breaks it. Notice, the tree was good for food, so it's edible, right? You're not going to eat something that's not edible. How many of you look at grass, which is technically edible, but go, now that right there, that's going to make a scrumptious meal. I'll be honest with you. I have never once looked at anything green and leafy and went, that right there, that's going to fill me up. No, usually it's when I'm in the supermarket and I'm looking at the bone-in ribeyes and there's that nice marbling of fat through them. Either way, it's good for food. It looks good. It's pleasing to the eye. This is a good-looking thing. And it's desirable for gaining wisdom. Church, no food you eat today is going to help you gain any wisdom. There are certain foods you can eat, right? Fish oil. You eat a decent amount of fish. That is very good for your heart, eyes, and brain. Fishes, certain foods and stuff like that are very good for you, but you're not going to gain any more wisdom by eating food. Sorry. You might gain some wisdom that you're lactose intolerant, but she realizes this, and she's sorely tempted, and she falls. Almost immediately, she falls. And Adam, who was right there with her, oftentimes when the story is told, it's like Adam is like, you know, a mile away and she's got to go bring the apple to him. No, we read right there. Adam's right there next to her, which, by the way, Adam failed miserably as well. He did not protect his wife. But today's not about him. And he eats it and they've got to do it. Eve makes one choice. And in that one choice, sin, destruction, death, hatred, hurtfulness, all of it enters the world in that one moment. That one moment. Everything evil. It's hard for us to comprehend. The world was perfect. Not a thing died. Not a thing had, you didn't have to deal with pain. When Adam stubbed his toe, it didn't hurt. There's no such thing as those things yet. And then Eve is tempted. Now, I don't want to destroy Eve too much because the fact of the matter is, if Eve hadn't sinned and Adam hadn't sinned, one of their kids would have. It was going to happen at some point. Eve's got to take the rap. And if you're wondering if I'm being too hard on Eve, go read in the New Testament. Paul, a lot of the reasons that he gives for very specific things are because Eve sinned first. So if you're like, well, what about Adam? Take it up with the author of the book. Eve sinned first. It's a prideful choice on her part. How many of you in here, show of hands, would say you're a prideful person? That is way less than it should have been. I know you guys. Here's the thing. How many of you have ever sinned? Put a hand in the air. Okay, now let me re-ask this. How many of you are prideful? That's better. We're catching on. Every single sin you have ever committed is the sin of pride. Its root is in pride. Because what you are saying every single time you sin is, I know better than God. I deserve better than what God's giving me. I. Sin is pride in and of itself. What is the very first sin ever committed? It wasn't this one. The very first sin ever committed was when Lucifer was in heaven and said, I want to be God. Pride. And every sin you've ever committed, its root, it's in pride. So if you're ever like, no, I'm a very humble person, just recognize that. We like to kill people. We like to be like, well, I would never do that. And yet it's just the same thing. We're all committing the same sin. We know better than God. Every single sin is, I know better than God. From Satan, Lucifer, to Eve, to you, to however long God decides to tarry, every sin you commit is, I know better than God. But sin and destruction and pain enters the world because Eve failed. Because Eve failed. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no way. Too often with sin, and not just with this, but with sin in our own lives, we like to kind of, we push it down. We try to make it soft. I did wrong. No, you didn't. You sinned. Well, I messed up. No, you didn't. You sinned. We like to use other terms so that it makes us feel a little better about ourselves. It wasn't that big a deal. It was. You sinned. We like to, well, it wasn't as bad as, you know. It's not like I made off Hitler or anything like that. You're right. You're not. You'd go the same place he did. Get the same punishment he's got. for your little white lie that the fish was this big when it was actually only this big, sends you the same place as what the worst people throughout history have done. Because in God's eyes, sin is sin. We like to try to make our sin little. No, call it what it is, because it's the only way for true repentance, to truly learn, to truly grow. You have to face your sin head on and admit what it is. Adam and Eve didn't want to do that. They covered themselves. They noticed they were naked, and then they covered themselves, and then they hid from God. They didn't want to face their sin head on. I don't really blame them. Can you imagine if God showed up to talk to you every time you sinned? That'd be horrifying. They had to face God. They had to face the consequences of their sins. For generations on, one of the consequences of Adam and Eve's sin right here, their son killed their other son. One of the consequences of their sin right here, we read about it later in Genesis chapter 3, is that God is going to have to put on flesh and die. That's one of the consequences of Eve. It's far-reaching. How many of you have ever had a disease, a sickness of any kind? I don't care what it is. From a cold to cancer, how many of you have ever had a sickness, right? That is a consequence of Eve. It has been thousands of years of consequences. But here's the thing. If the story ended there with poor Eve, and here's the thing. I do believe, personally, I believe Adam and Eve are in heaven. I do. I believe that. I don't think Eve is any worse than any of the rest of us. I just think she was the first one, because the Bible says it. But here's the thing, because some other woman came along 4,000 years later and set the course of history back in the right way. In Luke chapter 1, verses 29 through 38, we read, Mary was greatly troubled at his words, his being the angel that has appeared to her, Gabriel. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Number two on your note sheets, Mary. Let me ask you this. Did Mary have to conceive a child then? Did she have to say yes to God? No, she did not. She did not. And if she had said no, would Jesus still have been born? Yes, he would have, to somebody else, to some other family. God knows everything. He knew what Mary was going to say, but she had a choice, just the same as Eve did. It was the same choice. Now you might say, no, Eve had a choice to eat fruit or not. Mary has a choice to bear a child or not. You're right. It's the same choice, though. Am I going to follow what God said? Am I going to do what God told me to do? An angel shows up to Mary and is like, "Hey, good morning." And she freaks out because angels are terrifying. No description of angels in Scripture ever says that they are beautiful or anything like that. They've usually got a bunch of eyes or a bunch of wings. They're spirit. They're terrifying. Every time one shows up, they have to be like, "Hey, calm down. I've got a message for you." Angels don't look like us. I don't want to alarm you, but the idea of cherubs and stuff like that we have in paintings and stuff like that came about during the Middle Ages. Angels don't look like that. They're horrifying. They're terrifying. And one shows up to poor 14-year-old Mary, and it's like, "Hey, guess what? Put yourself in her shoes." She's 13, 14 years old and is told, "You are going to bear a child, and not only bear a child, you are going to remain a virgin, and your child is going to be the Son of God." No pressure. I feel bad for Mary. I couldn't make that choice, not only because I'm a man, but because I don't know if I could say yes. Mary has a choice to make. And while Eve, thousands of years earlier, makes a very prideful choice, she's going to do what she wants. Mary makes a very humble choice. Go to the next slide real quick for me, Aunt Lori. Verse 38. What's her response? I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. It's not a whole bunch of questions. She asks some very good questions. How can this be? I'm a virgin. Up to that point, there was one way in which a woman can conceive. Sexual relations. That's it. This is the first and only time that somebody, that semen did not have to meet egg for a child to be conceived. Mary asks a legit question. How can this happen? And the angel answers, God's got it. Don't worry about it. God will take care of it. And she doesn't keep asking a whole bunch of questions after that. She asks, in my opinion, a legitimate question. It's a good question. And then she goes, all right, I will do what is right. You see, through the decision of one woman, Eve, sin, destruction, pain, death enters the world. And through the decision of one woman, Mary, salvation from that sin enters the world. God has a tendency in history, when we read through scripture, of being a bit ironic with things. When one thing happens here, he will do almost the same thing here, or use the same basic process to change it and flip it. He goes, woman sinned first. I will also give women the glory of being the one with whom I will use to bring salvation into the world. Could God have just created a child out of nothingness and put him in a manger? Of course he could have. Of course he could have. That wasn't the way he was going to do it, though. Was Mary any better of a person than Eve was 4,000 years prior? No, she wasn't. Did Mary sin in her life? Yes, she did. I'm sorry if we have some Catholic friends in here who don't think that, but she was human. She did. She was a sinner, just like the rest of us. She didn't get to heaven because she found favor with God. She had sinned before that. She would have sinned afterwards. Probably in raising Jesus. A lot of you in here have had kids before. That means you have sinned in raising your kids. Sorry. Mary did too. So did Joe. God didn't choose her because she was perfect. I liken Mary to the same way as David. David, who is a murderer. David, who is a adulterer. David, who is did some vile things in his life, we read in Psalms, is a man after God's own heart. Mary is a sinner too. She's a woman after God's own heart. We don't read that in Scripture, but I think we can see enough of her that I feel confident in saying it. And he chooses this woman. Let's apply it to our lives. I don't know where Mom is at. You might have to find her. She was in like four different rooms. Let's apply it to our lives. Let me ask you this question, church. Are you going to listen to God? I thank God personally. I talked about this before. I've talked about this many times. I have a number of women in my life. Well, they're not in my life anymore if they're deceased. But I've had a number of women in my life that have poured into me, that have showed me what it is to listen to God without hesitation. I have men that have done that as well, but we'll talk about them on Father's Day. I have a number of women in my life that have shown me what it is to be like Mary. To when God shows up and says, I have something for you. You just go, okay. Now, I will say this, God has never personally shown up to me. I've never woken up and had an angel in my room talking to me. Not saying it can't happen. It doesn't really happen much anymore because we have this and everything you need to know you can find in here. But I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm saying it's rare. But what oftentimes God has done is use the women in my life to teach me how to listen to God better. I won't tell you the exact conversations that I had because they're between me and her. But I remember over the 5 years that I was the pastor here, or 4 and a half or so, that Grandma was here, I'd drive her places and stuff like that. And Grandma, she always poured into me, but really over the past 4 and a half years there, she was intent upon it. And as I heard stories about her life, stories I had never heard before, I'm not saying all of them are 100% true, but I'm guessing they're pretty close in a lot of ways. And as she would talk to me about things we were doing at the church, things that were going on in her own life, I was always amazed. Because here was a 87 through 91-year-old woman who I am sure questioned God at points in her life because she wasn't perfect. But the amount of times that she said, "We've just got to do it. It's what God wants. We'll just do it," it floored me. And I had many other women. My brain always comes to her lately. I have plenty of other women in my life, whether it's my mom, my aunt. My wife does it. She challenges me on things that she doesn't even know she challenges me on. And I'm always challenged, and it's the same way. Am I going to listen to God? I'm not a woman, so I can't be like your mother standing here asking you this. But maybe hear it in her voice if you had a good mom. Are you going to listen to God? Are you going to or not? Eve had a choice to listen. She decided not to. And she destroyed so many things. Your decisions will probably not impact the world the way Eve's or Mary's did. I'm sorry, none of us in here are that important. Sin's already in the world, so you can't do what Eve did. Salvation's already entered the world. You can't do what Mary did. You can't impact your life and the lives of the people around you. So I ask you, are you going to listen to God or not? Not once, not twice, every moment of every day. It is a constant thing. Now here's your practical application for today. It's a little different from the full-on sermon that I preached, but as I was trying to come up with the application, I just felt God tell me to do this one. And I said, all right, fine, we'll do it. Specifically, gentlemen, although women, you can do this as well, but specifically, gentlemen, encourage a woman this week. Not in the way you would like to encourage her, all right? It's not extremely encouraging to my wife if I'm like, "Yeah, you're looking good today." She's like, "Thanks, please go away." Right? I don't care how you think you should encourage her, and neither does she. Encourage her, and it doesn't have to be your wife, right? It could be, right? A woman you are close to. Encourage her this week. Just pour into her this week. Because quite frankly, being a woman quite often is a thankless job. It just is. They have to do quite a lot for us dumb men. It's why Mother's Day is the number one day to eat out in the country. We come full circle on stuff sometimes. Encourage her this week in the way she likes to be encouraged. Here's the thing. You might have, and this isn't my wife as much in this specific example. Maybe your wife adores flowers. So this week, take the extra 10 minutes on your way home from work and buy her a nice little thing of flowers. Maybe she really likes to be left alone sometimes. Leave her alone for 10 minutes, 30 minutes. Book her a day and just leave her alone. There are quite a few women in here going, "Yes, please. Yes, please." Gentlemen, if we have to eat at McDonald's because she can't cook for us because we're leaving her alone, that's like a win-win situation in my book. I get to eat chicken McNuggets. She gets to be left alone. We're all winning now. And she doesn't have to eat McDonald's, so this is great. Do what it is you know. If they are a words person, pour into them with your words. And not in a sarcastic way. I'm a sarcastic person. The whole Brush family is. We're sarcastic. But if you know she's a words person, praise her. Not in the way that I did a couple minutes ago, right? But you can tell her she looks nice. You can say, man, honey, you look really nice in that shirt today. I always like when you wear that. It goes good with your hair and your eyes. It's great. I don't like her in that shirt. No, I'm joking. Right, so you can do a looks thing just like once or twice. Don't bask and just pile on for her looks, because she's worth so much more than that. But if she's words, praise her. If she's actions, do stuff for her. Gentlemen, if she has been begging you for 6 months to change the light bulb in the hallway, just do it. Just do it. Whatever it is, encourage a woman this week, and don't stop at one. If you've got a mom who's around, encourage her. If you've got a wife, encourage her. A sister, encourage her. A friend, encourage her. We should really be doing it every day, but make an effort to do it this week. Because they need to be built up too. And it is Mother's Day, and they go through a lot for us, whether they're our moms or not. They go through a lot for us. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for Mother's Day, as I've said already. I thank you for, listen, Eve gets a bad rap in a lot of ways. And did she sin? Of course she did. But I don't think she was any better or worse than the other women, quite frankly. In this room, in the Bible, I mean, she was better than certain women that we've read about. But I don't think she was this vile human being. I think she messed up in a big way. I also thank you for Mary, who was willing. Salvation was going to enter the world anyway. She didn't save the world, but she was willing to be used by you. I pray that we would learn from their examples, both the good and the bad example, that we need to listen to you. I pray for the women in our lives that you would uplift them, you would encourage them, you would give them strength and peace, that they would be, continue to be just this light, and not just in men's lives, but in the lives of everyone around them. Because quite frankly, though men probably don't want to admit it very much, we need the women in our lives. Not want, we need them. And I thank you that you saw fit thousands of years ago to look at Adam and say, he needs a helper. I'll give her one. I'll give him one. Because we need a helper. Because we're useless. I thank you, Father. I pray for all the women that they would have a glorious Mother's Day. That they would praise you and honor you, but that they would be given rest, that they would be given strength, that if they go out to eat, there's a table for them. Father, we praise you, and it's in the name of your Son that we pray. Amen and amen.